We're going to go ahead and get started. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have set aside, one day in seven, where you rested from all the work that you did, and you invite us to enter into your presence and rest with you. Father, we long for that perfect eternal rest that we will have in the consummation of all things, but for today we have a foretaste of the rest that we have in Christ. We pray that you would lift our eyes and our hearts up to heaven today, that we may cast aside the cares of the world to honor you, our Lord and King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was talking to Leonard today, and he kind of confirmed a thing I was thinking about, that we, if we continue on this pace, we're going to be done in a really, really long time. And we're going to be taking a break during the summer from Sunday school. And so I'm going to try and what I'm going to do is I'm going to shorten the time that we spend talking, that I spend talking up here, to leave time at the end to break into groups so that we do the lesson and the discussion within 1 week. And there will be other opportunities to get through this material as well, because we, like, for instance, we've been doing it. We're going to start doing this in our own care group, and the materials will be available toward that end. There's a book over here, I guess, if somebody needs one. Did you get any? Yeah?
I got a big box on my mind.
Okay, so there's a big box, theoretically, that people can use, just not here. And so, if you need one, just think about the fact that there's a book that you could be looking at. There were four steps sort of in this idea that Tripp was talking about in terms of how we counsel people. And again, think of counseling in a more broad sense, not necessarily in a formal, have to be a professional type of thing, but that all of us counsel or encourage or exhort in one way or another. The four steps were to enter the person's world, second, to be an ambassador of the love of Christ. The third one is to identify with suffering, and the fourth was accept with agenda. Now, we're talking about the last two because we talked about the former two in our last session. And so we're on chapter or lesson six here. And if we could turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, we want to talk a little bit about the idea of identifying with suffering. If somebody has it, they can go ahead and read it so that while I'm not prepared to speak to it right away, we can all hear it.
Chapter 2, what?
Hebrews 2, verses 10 to 11.
For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Said 10 and 11?
Yeah.
For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers.
Okay, so we I think one of the important things that when we're talking to, or that when we enter into a relationship with somebody to try and encourage or to counsel them, and again, counseling can take the form of deciding that maybe somebody sinned against us and we need to try and restore them or ask them to talk to them about that according to the word, or maybe somebody refuses to repent and we bring somebody with us, or maybe somebody's just having a tough time and we want to go and encourage them. There's a number of scenarios. I mean, just don't limit this to the idea of, oh, well, I can't think of anybody like that because nobody in my life is messed up enough to kind of say we need to send to a counselor. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the relationships that we have and the ideas that we could be using these in our own lives. Like when we were talking last week and giving examples in our own lives, I was thinking about how I need to enter my own kids' world sometimes. Like I'm talking about relationships that I have, not necessarily theoretical relationships where a dude staggers into here and he has a major drug problem. Hey, Jay, speaking of which. But that we have, you know, just in general, we have these things that we need to be thinking about how we're going to be dealing with those. Well, when we talk about within the church, we need to realize that we're all in the same family and that we're in a similar position in the family, and we all have suffering to some extent. We don't want to be setting up scenarios with people where we have this idea that, well, you know, we've got it all together, and so the reason you're coming to me is to kind of seek release from the suffering that you have, because I'm the one that has all the answers, and so why don't I go to the guy that doesn't seem to have those problems. That's not, you know, we all should be suffering in some way, at the very least even entering into others people's suffering. And suffering doesn't have to be the loss of a child. It could be the struggle against sin. It could be a number of things. It could be also entering people's world and being affected by the suffering of others as well. What the passage that Johnny read in Hebrews chapter 2 reminds us that one of the things in Christ's humanity that he was expected to do was that his mission as the Messiah was not complete until he had actually performed the mission that he came to do. And that was to live a life of righteousness, to live a life of suffering. He didn't immediately incarnate himself as a fully developed human being to go directly to the cross to die for sin. He lived a human life to where he had to bear temptation, had to bear ridicule, had to obey God in the light of temptation, in the light of real hunger, in the light of real anger towards him, and endure suffering. And it says that he became perfect, not in the sense of his person or his Godhead changing, but in the sense of his messiahship, because he was fully man. He had to complete this. It's sort of like the idea that man was not good until he was complete with a woman as a unit, that they would be man and wife together, in the sense that of Jesus' mission as Messiah. He was not perfect until he had achieved all the things that the Father had set out for him to do. And in like manner, God is calling us. He's up there. God calls us to be living a life as Christ did in terms of obedience, but not in the sense that we're on our own and we're just kind of achieving that. We're achieving that like Christ did on parallel tracks, but because of the power that Christ provides for us. But the idea is the same, is that we need to be brothers in suffering, that suffering does lead to holiness. And so we're trying to help people to see that suffering isn't something that happens outside of God's plan, and that, well, he's just the great lemonade maker, right? You know, life is a bowl of lemons, and God is dealing with the same lemons as we are, but he's just way better at lemonade recipes than we are, and he's making the best out of bad situations the same way we are. He ordains all things to the sense that we know that he's in control of even the most horrible situations, and so we have confidence that things are going to work out, not because he's reacting to these things, but because through those, he's perfecting us. He's doing something in this world. He's bringing everything to a perfect plan. And then we are supposed to be instruments in that plan as well, not merely to leave people to suffer on their own and deal with these horrible situations, with whatever they might be. But God has ordained that we come alongside and sit with them and suffer with them and grieve with them. I mean, we talked about it the other day, Leonard and I, you know, Job's friends were quiet for a week with Job, and then they opened up their mouths and messed up everything. But at least they spent a week in suffering with him and mourning with him before they started spouting bad theology about the fact that the reason he was suffering is because of some hidden sin. Were you going to say something? I thought I saw your hand. Yeah, I saw that hand. So I guess the idea is we're not supposed to, that if you want to sum it all up, we don't remain aloof from human experience, remain aloof from suffering. We're supposed to enter into other people's lives and suffer with them, and not give kind of like a, you know, not some sort of trite thing like, don't worry, when life deals you lemons, make lemonade. You know, I keep saying that only because I remember this lieutenant that was was, you know, that's he had this, at least what he thought had wrecked his world, and one of the things he hated was when somebody said that to him. We're not to come out there and do platitudes with people. Give them, you know, some sort of like motivational poster that says, you know, endurance, you know, with some picture of a guy and some slogan underneath it or something like that. I like the demotivational posters that poke fun at us personally. I don't know if you've ever seen those things. Yes.
I just want to say that, I mean, we do that as Christians too, and they may actually be true things and they may actually be theologically sound things, but, you know, someone just lost a kid or something.
Yeah.
Had him on the shoulder.
Right.
God has a plan.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we're kind of giving them that motivational poster, like, you know, like, you know, that's pretty terrible. God works all things together for those who love him, call according to his purpose. Gotta go. Deal with that suffering, you know. Yes.
I think part of the reason, and this is Johnny Chapman's opinion only, and certainly open to other expressions about this, but I think part of the reason is because when people suffer, like you said in the beginning, they go to a doctor and they go to a hospital, and we don't have to be around them while they suffer.
Right.
You know, or they, you know, if they have a kid that's got really bad issues, they stay at home a lot.
Right.
Know, because we, even as a society, and even the church, I think, we're just not used to it. We're not used to seeing people going through things. We're not used to having to deal with and be alongside people going through tough stuff.
Right, and in one sense, this is a call that's the kind of church we need to be, is where suffering is supposed to be around us, and we're not supposed to just be giving platitudes about it. You know, by the way, as an aside, one of my favorite demotivational posters is like, you know, if all it takes is a poster to motivate you, then your job is probably something that's going to be replaced by a robot someday. Anyhow, yeah. Yeah, I understand. That's okay. We'll talk afterwards. The last thing is accept with agenda. And I know right now that Leonard's sitting there saying, man, I really wanted to talk about that, because he kept talking about it last week, almost to the point where we really don't need to talk about it. It's sort of like, but to sum it up, if here's a very graphic analogy. If my son comes to me with a poopy diaper, it's not loving to say, I love you just the way you are. I don't want to change a thing about you. I just love you so much. And then he walks around and he's still got, like, you know, poop in his diaper. You know, it doesn't help him to say, I love him and accept him just the way he is. Love demands that I change him. Now, I'm using a crass analogy to say that the way that God loves us is not to leave us just the way we are. And we have this poisonous infection in our minds that says love is this idea that God loves us just the way we are, as if he doesn't want to change us. Now, it is very true that we don't need to clean ourselves up in order to come to Christ. Okay? Christ starts with us just the way we are, but toward the end that we would be transformed to be in the image of of God's Son. There is an agenda with God, and that's the way love is. Hatred is when you don't care about a person, you let them destroy themselves. That's what hatred is. And we, you know, I think I've made the point. We just need to remember that we become very uncomfortable when somebody tries to tell us about maybe sacred cows that we have that we have to improve upon. And I'm guilty of it as well. We don't like to be confronted by people. We think the last place the church should be is the place that tells you, hey, you probably need to change that attitude or that thing. How dare you? I didn't come to church for anybody I didn't come to church to be changed. I came to church to be confirmed in who I am. You're supposed to be my cheerleader, telling me, you know, I'm all right, everything's good, you know. But that's not what God does. I mean, the love that Christ shows us is that he died for our sins, and that he's putting sin to death in our members. And we should be ambassadors. We should be loving enough to say, that person is destroying himself, and say, I don't care if the reaction from that person is going to be prickly or hard or harsh, because I dare to enter into their world and say that. But love is an agenda. You go in there and help people because you care and love about them and you want to see them change. Not because you love them just the way they are and you see no reason to change. And I think it would question our own hearts about whether or not we think we need to be changed if we can see other people and say, "Not, nah, he's got it all together. He doesn't need any change," right? And obviously, I think that it goes without saying that all of this starts with ourselves, right? We're not the kind of guys that are saying, "Boy, is he messed up?" Unless it's a big plank hitting people in the heads as we're walking around. We start with ourselves, and we recognize our own need for change. And so love has the same agenda towards others as we're ambassadors of the kind of love that God showed us. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, and maybe that's the lesson is going here. But it seems not a couple months ago, my cousin passed away. She was in her mid-40s. And there was a lot of people, obviously, around the family that desired, that it wasn't so much volitional that they didn't desire to comfort, that they didn't desire to counsel, that they didn't desire. The volition was there. I think as I observe people in their unwillingness to interact, it almost seemed like it was a lack of confidence or that they were qualified. They didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sometimes maybe even the platitudes of is all they could come up with.
And right.
So it wasn't that they didn't desire or they were trying to be short or dismissive. It's just they felt uncomfortable in that situation. It's kind of along what I think Johnny was saying as far as, you know, where we operate day to day. So when we have something that's more extreme that way, not, you know, the kind of the day to day, you know, communicating with folks when they suffer, but the idea of a comfort.
Well, the lesson isn't going that way right now because it's over, but I mean, it was a good way to cap it all off. I think what we're going after here is to say that we need that the whole point of this is for us to not feel paralyzed, because we live in a society that says, well, if a person's got a real problem, we need to, the last place we want to send that person to is people in here to solve those problems. We probably need to, if you've got a real problem, you probably need to go outside somewhere else. We can't help you here because we're really the place where all the healthy people live. No, we should be the kind of place where the sick come to be healed. And granted, we realize there are things out there where medicine can help in that. But spiritually speaking, this is where healing occurs. And we want to feel, I want each of us to feel equipped at a different level. Maybe not at the very least, each of us can be equipped to be encouraging one another. And then as we grow in maturity, we take on more and more difficult things. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. And so you say, man, I'm not equipped to do that. I'm going to bring this to a brother or sister that I feel is equipped to do that, because we know we're the kind of community where somebody can have something really messed up and we don't go, ew, you know? We don't have a recoil at that, but we love enough to say this is the place where healing can occur. So that was a good way to kind of end that. So toward that end, then, like I said at the beginning of this, we're going to be going now into groups of smallish numbers, however you want to break that up. And we're going to be discussing the questions here together. Like I said, we don't have enough time to kind of do week on, week off, week on, week off if we want to be done before the summertime. So why don't you guys find groups where you have a book? And I'm going to go ahead and announce when it's 10 o'clock because we have a cake for Pete Sniffen. He's back from Afghanistan, so we want to make sure we spend a little time with that. So. Thanks, guys. Let's do it.